Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. Today, we take a look at the readings, the first one being from 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 2, and then verses 9 to 17. So if you have your Bibles, and again, I encourage you, have your Bible with you. If you can access it through your smartphone, fine, but I'm still one of those people that thinks the printed word that you can touch, because you can underscore, you can mark it up in a way that helps you the next time you come back to it. You see how God's grace was at work in you in this month, because this verse, and the next month you find out another verse is standing out. It's very good to be able to underline them, mark them, and hold on to them, because it's a sign that God is speaking to you through that. We take the first reading, 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 2, 2 Samuel 24, 2, and then 9 to 17. Brothers and sisters, before I take a look at that reading, let me just interrupt myself, so to speak. We have Renewal Ministries has a very new website. It's just been up for a couple of weeks, and I really would like to encourage you to take a look. Just go to renewalministries.net. It's all one word, just Renewal Ministries, no spaces, no capitals, renewalministries.net. Take a look at our website. If you can't listen on the radio, you can listen to our program on the internet. You can just click on radio when you get to the main page, and we keep up about 2 weeks of programs at one time, so you can review what you heard before. You can go back and listen again, or if you're going to be in a place where you have no radio, you can easily access it through the internet and listen to the current one. I've also been mentioning that I have a new booklet out. It again is on the mercy of God, but this time it's focused on the joy that repentance brings. So I have one called Captured by Mercy. Is that, in a sense, after we've been forgiven, we're called to go out and forgive others. That's part of the share of mercy. So take a look at Captured by Mercy, but also my newest, or the newer of the two, the booklet that just came out. If you listen at the end of the program, you'll be given our toll-free number, and you can order my newest booklet on mercy, the mercy of God and the joy repentance brings. 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 2, and then 9 to 17. King David said to Joab and the leaders of the army who were with him, "Tour all the tribes in Israel from Dan to Beersheba and register the people that I may know their number." So Joab then reported to the king the number of people registered in Israel, 800,000 men fit for military service, in Judah, 500,000. Afterward, however, David regretted having numbered the people. And he said to the Lord, "Listen to this. I have sinned grievously in what I have done." Now, why does he say that? He was counting the number of men he had to go into battle. He was making that the priority. He wanted the numbers so he could depend on the strength of his army. He was not depending on the Lord. Doesn't mean that every time you count, you're not depending on the Lord. But in this situation, David quickly realizes that he was putting the number of men in his army as what he was most relying upon in order to win battle, instead of on the will of God. Afterward, however, David regretted having numbered the people, and he said to the Lord, "I've sinned grievously in what I have done. But now, Lord, forgive the guilt of your servant, for I have been very foolish." When David rose in the morning, the Lord had spoken to the prophet Gad, David's prophet, saying, "Go and say to David, this is what the Lord says." And so the Lord is going to punish him for putting his trust in others before his trust in God. "I offer you three alternatives. Choose one of them, and I will inflict it on you." Gad then went to David to inform him. He asked, "Do you want a 3 years famine to come upon your land, or to flee from your enemy for 3 months while he pursues you, or have a 3-day pestilence in your land?" Now consider and decide. I must reply to him who sent me. David answered Gad, I am in very serious difficulty. And that's true. Let us fall by the hand of God, for he is most merciful. Let me not fall by the hand of men. And for that reason, David chose the pestilence. Now it was the time of the wheat harvest when the plague broke out among the people. The Lord then sent a pestilence over Israel from morning until evening, until the time appointed. And 70,000 of the people from Dan to Beersheba died. And David knows it's his sin that caused their deaths. How many times are we willing to connect the dots, especially if we're in positions of authority and power? But when the angel stretched forth his hand toward to Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord regretted the calamity and said to the angel causing the destruction among the people, enough now, stay your hand. The angel of the Lord was then standing at the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. When David saw the angel who was striking the people, he said to the Lord, it is I who have sinned. It is I, the shepherd, who have done wrong. These are my sheep. What have they done? Punish me and my kindred. David sees how our sin, how our pride, how our arrogance can actually cause others to die. This is very, very telling, and it's something we need to pay attention to, especially if we're in positions of authority and power. Our decisions can bring about the death of many. How conscious are we of it? And you know, it doesn't have to be a physical death. We can destroy people's reputations, their name, can destroy their good works. Think of all that. Really think of all that. And say to the Lord, Lord, I want to be obedient to you. I want to do what you want me to do. Not only that I may be saved, but all those with whom I come in contact, all those for whom I am responsible, whether it be at work or in family. I want to do it according to your will and your way, that many may be blessed. Take this very seriously, brothers and sisters. I think of David when he said, it is I who have sinned, it is I, the shepherd, who have done wrong, but these are sheep. What have they done? Punish me. Punish my family. Punish my relatives. But not them. Not the poor. Do we think like that? As I've said on previous programs, oh, we're willing to go out and give the poor something, a mere token, but we're willing to do that, and that's good. Don't let it stop there. Pray for them. Pray for their souls. Pray that they may get out of this time of difficulty. Pray that they may be restored. And if you have resources, you can offer them. Don't just dropping a coin in a bucket be enough. It's not, brothers and sisters. Lord, forgive the wrong I have done. That's how David prayed, and that's how we need to pray. There are many times, Lord, when I make decisions that seem good, but they're really selfish. I look for honor and money and power and prestige, even in very small ways, in my own parish, in my own little town, in the farm community in which I live, wherever I am. We all have the spirit of pride working in us. And we can also, by that, bring destruction to others. The responsorial psalm, Psalm 32, Lord, forgive the wrong I have done. Blessed is he whose fault is taken away, whose sin is covered. Blessed the man to whom the Lord imputes not guilt, in whose spirit there is no guile. Then I acknowledge my sin to you, my guilt I covered not. I said, I confess my faults to the Lord, and you took away the guilt of my sin. For this shall every faithful man pray to you in time of stress. Though deep waters overflow, they shall not reach him. You are my shelter. From distress you will preserve me. With glad cries of freedom you will ring me round. When you're going through difficulties, pray Psalm 32. Declare your faith, Lord, you're going to see me through this. Even if If what I'm dealing with are because of my mistakes, I'm repenting. I want to turn around, and God can help us right there in the midst of it. Turn to me, says the Lord. Turn to me and be safe. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verses 1 to 6, Jesus departed from there and came to his native place, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What kind of wisdom has been given him? What mighty deeds are wrought by his hands? Is he not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. "Who does he think he is? Who does he think he is?" He gets up to teach in the synagogue, which was their right. But the Pharisees are furious. People are following him. People are paying attention to him. Who does he think he is? They took offense at him. They wanted to see him punished. They wanted to see him cast out. They wanted to get rid of him. He challenged them, and they weren't ready to face it. Their pride got in the way and blinded them. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his native place and among his own kin and in his own house." So he was not able to perform any mighty deed there apart from curing a few sick people by laying his hands on them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. There it is, brothers and sisters. How deeply do you believe? How close are you to the Lord so that you can distinguish the false from the true, even if it comes in very beguiling language? Be able to distinguish false from true, right from wrong, good from evil. Evil can disguise itself. You need faith. Faith says, "Lord, I believe that you created me. I believe that you saved me. I believe that you gave me of your spirit. I believe that you baptized me into having life with you for all eternity. I want to live out my life here, acknowledging who I am and where I'm going. I want to be a faithful follower. Will you help me today?" And we take it one day at a time. It really does happen, brothers and sisters. Please don't be so caught up in the world that you cannot see what God is calling you to. He's calling you to a lot because he loves you, because he wants you with him. And it says here, "So he was not able to perform any mighty deed there apart from curing a few sick people by laying his hands on them." He couldn't because people didn't have faith. You know, the Pharisees stood there, and we can do it too. You stand there with your arms crossed looking very skeptical. Rather than saying, "Lord, if this is you, help me to know you. Lord, if this is your voice, if this is your action, help me to follow you." That's going in faith. Ask God every day for an increase of faith. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I have a new booklet on the mercy of God available to you. It is entitled "The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings." I really urge you to read it. You can access it and receive it free by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. "The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings." God bless you.